Thank you for that. Thank you for being here tonight. I hope that you are being helped by our discipleship series. And the goal, of course, is for us to be firm. Many of you know much of this, but just to reestablish and be firm in what we believe, with the goal of to help others to understand that. It's hard for us to help new converts and those who come our way if we don't understand these things ourselves. I realize as I finished the last chapter, I did not give you the last two bullet points of that, the last points of it, and we go through it as part of the conclusion. I'll just give you the words here, and you can write those in. Sorry about that. I even have them highlighted, and I still mess up. The two words are progress. We'll never progress as a Christian if we don't do the first steps that we talked about. We understand those. And then in the last chapter, the path of growth. The path of growth. We're going to start the new chapter today. It's chapter number 4 in your book. It's the chapter about growing closer. Growing closer. Now that we have covered salvation, baptism, and eternal security, the basics, as it were, I mean, you think about something as tremendous as salvation, its basics, but that is the basics of the Christian life, the starting point, and then our immediate baptism, or what should be our immediate baptism, and then an understanding of salvation and its duration, that salvation, once we receive Christ as our Savior, our eternal destiny is settled. There's nothing we can do to lose it, and we looked at that. So now, we are moving on. Let's look in the book. If you have the book, you can look at the first chapter, and we'll go through the first paragraph. We'll start going through it. Now that you have an understanding of your salvation and the first steps that God wants you to take, you are now ready to go forward as a Christian. Now, eternal security is more of an encouraging thing and a doctrinal belief, but really, you're not going to grow as a Christian if you're not saved. Okay. You know, I heard someone say this: if you had a tree in your house and it was made out of plastic, you could water it all you want, and it's not going to grow. Sometimes when we have the sprinkler system here, I'll come outside during the day, and sometimes the sprinklers go cattywampus, and the water will come down the sidewalk. That happens a lot. People step on them or whatever. And I always say, you know, we've been watering that sidewalk for years, and it's never grown. Why? It's not a living thing. But once you're saved and you've taken that first step of obedience, you're now ready to go forward. And by the way, you're not just ready to go forward. Really, that's what you should do. If you're not saved, you can't do it. Now, before we start, this isn't in your notes. That's why there's notes section on the side of your books. You can write some things down. Every person is in one of three classifications biblically. Okay, the Bible gives them to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible talks about the natural man. That's the first classification, natural man. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What is a natural man? A natural man is an unsaved person. And a person that's not saved does not have the Spirit of God indwelling in them. And so when they look at the Bible and they try to understand the Bible, they may know facts, they may have a head knowledge of some things, but they're really not going to get the point of the Bible, because the points of the Bible are discerned spiritually. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The only thing that really an unsaved person needs to get out of the Bible is they need to get the point of salvation. And the Spirit of God will convict them of their sin and their need for salvation. But to try to grow and learn the truths of the Bible, that a Christian should, that's why the world will look at some of the things we believe and they'll say, what is that all about? And it'll seem weird to them. Why? Because they're not saved, so the Spirit of God doesn't bear witness with them of the truths of the Bible. You know, as a new Christian, I've mentioned before, as I'm in church and I'm hearing these things and I'm like, whoa, you've got to be kidding me. That's in the Bible? That's what God wants of me? Now, it may have been foreign to me, but I knew it was true. I was learning it. Why? Because I was saved. The natural man, they don't get that. They're unsaved. The second man there is the carnal man. The carnal man. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. We preached on this just a few months ago. It says that I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. As Paul, and you understand the church of Corinth, had a multitude of problems. Paul says, I can't even talk to you on a spiritual angle. I'm struggling because you're not getting it, because your problem isn't that you're not saved. Your problem is you're carnal. Your whole life is wrapped up in this world, and that is choking out the Word of God, which is trying to work in your life. But this is a saved person. They're just an unspiritual person. They live closer to what an unsaved person would than a saved. They live more for this world than they do for the next. They think more like the world than they do the scriptures. They live more by their feelings and their faith. And by the way, doesn't that describe our society? Everything's about feelings, okay? Well, feelings are great, but truth is rock solid. Amen. And then the third category is a spiritual man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. But he that is spiritual, the next verse, judgeth all things. Yet he himself is not judged of man. He's not unnatural. The Spirit of God is not speaking to him. But the spiritual man, he can judge all things by the Word of God, because the Word of God speaks to him. And that was really needed in the Corinthian church. And then in 3:1, he says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. So there's the two designations there. So all of us are one of those three. Now, I would assume that if we're here on a Thursday night, you're probably saved, unless you're new. But the category next then is, are you a carnal or are you a spiritual person? What makes the difference? If a person's a natural man, it's because they've chosen to reject Christ. If a person is a carnal man, it's because they've chosen to live their own way. But if a person is a spiritual man, it's because they've chosen to be spiritual. And when they choose to be spiritual, they'll take the steps necessary to grow in the faith and become spiritual. That's what growth is all about. Spirituality isn't something we decide one day and we arrive the same day. It doesn't happen that way. Spirituality is a journey that we take. We get more spiritual as we grow in our faith, realizing we're never going to reach perfection, but we're going to progress as far down the path as we can. Now, back in the book, it says, as a Christian, you have an awesome opportunity to daily spend time with God, the creator of the universe. Now, think of that phrase. We so quickly go over that, don't we? Yeah, God's the creator of the universe. Do you understand what the universe is? Do you even understand how vast the universe is? You have them here about distances between stars. You know, that's like 1,000 light years. Do you even know what a light year is? How many of you understand that concept? Here's a light year. Light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles every second. That's like 6 or 7 times around the earth in 1 second. Now think it. And if you traveled at that speed, that's how long it would take you to get to some of these other solar systems, suns. I mean, we're talking about thousands of years. By the way, side note here, I figured out, I saw what our national debt was, and maybe I'm just weird, and I thought, what if we paid back the national debt at $186,000 a second? Okay? It would take 4 years. Let that resonate in your mind, but it has nothing to do with the creator of the universe, okay? Because he could probably create money to take care of that. Oh, kind of like our government creates money by printing it. But anyhow. But think about that. We have an awesome privilege to spend daily time with the creator of the universe. Amen. Everything that is everywhere and goes everywhere. And he really wants to spend time with us. That's quite an amazing thing. So Christianity is not just what we believe, although the belief system is there. It's also a relationship that we have. It's a relationship that we have. Many people miss that, by the way. They see salvation as the end game, making sure that they don't end up in hell. And by the way, I'm all for that. Thank God heaven is real. And I'm glad that because of Jesus Christ, I don't have to go to hell. Thank God for that. But you know, there's more wrapped up to it than that. God wants to have a relationship with each and every one of us. And that's what everything is tied up in. But after salvation, we have many years left on this earth. We'll eventually get to heaven. But what will we do with those days? God did not just have a desire for us to be saved and escape hell. He also has a plan for us after salvation and a purpose in our life. But none of that's going to be realized if you do not have a relationship with Him. And the relationship is the vehicle by which we grow as a Christian. In your book, God desires to have a close relationship with each and every one of us. Think about that. God wants to be close to it. By the way, isn't that this natural? If you have a child, don't you want to have a relationship with that child? At least until they turn 5 or 6, right? Then when they turn teenage, no. You want to have a relationship. That's natural as a parent. But God wants to have a relationship with His children. How does that happen? Look at your book. One way that is accomplished is through a daily time with Him. That time with God is called many things. Some call it walking with God. I think our teenage club we have for them to promote to them to spend time with God. I think we call it our walk with God. Is that it? Walk with God club. Some people call it daily devotions. Okay, some people journal, you know, journal with God. I don't do journaling. I write down notes. Okay, there's a big difference. Whatever you want to call it. Here's the point. Do it. Let's have a daily time with God. Let's spend time with Him. For our purpose, we call this step of our daily time with God a relationship. There are two aspects of this relationship that are vital. We're going to look at both of those in this chapter. I mean, there's a lot involved with the relationship with God. There's two main ones that we should focus and have a time to spend time with God each day. One is spending time in the Bible. That is letting God talk to you. And by the way, that's exactly what do we call the Bible? The Bible is called the Word of God. The Word is a means of communication, whether it's oral or it's written. God does not speak verbally today to us. Some charismatics and others believe that. No, God told us everything He wanted us to know within the pages of Scripture. Yep. Okay? And that's done. But that's how God speaks to us. God wants us to hear what He has to say. We're not in the Old Testament where God, the Scripture was not fully written. God speaks to us through His Word. Everything that God wants to tell us is found right here. But if you don't get into it, you won't know what God's trying to tell you. We won't know what God wants us to know. Back to the book. The other is spending time in prayer. That is you talking to God. Now for this section, we're going to get into the parts of the Bible first. We'll get to prayer later. The relationship that God wants you with you is not a one-way relationship. God communicating to you only. God also desires that we communicate to Him. In any relationship, there's two ways. If you're going to have communication, there's two ways, right? The person talks to you, and you talk to that person. Most of us are pretty good at the first part, if we're doing it, God talking to us through the Bible. When we get to prayer, that's the hard part we have. Have you ever been around somebody that talks so much, they don't let you talk? How many ever been there? Okay. When we started the church in Monterey Park, we got a phone call, and it was an older lady. She was in her 70s, and she wanted to come to church, and I got her address, and so I went to visit her to let her know about the church. And older folks are lonely. Now, I'm not making this up. This is going to sound like an exaggeration, and I'm literally not exaggerating. I went into her house. I said hello. In the course of the next hour, I probably squeezed in 10 words. She talked about everything. After an hour, I got up and I said, I gotta go. I'm not trying to be rude. I have to go. We'll see you at church tomorrow. And that didn't faze her one bit. As I got up and started inching towards the door, she just kept the conversation going. And I got to the door and I was leaving. And how many of you remember, you guys from Monterey Park, remember Brother Benny? Brother Benny was with me. And I finally got her so I could leave. And then Benny asked her a question. Another 15 minutes. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Now, most of us, all we're doing, and by the way, that's a good thing, God talking to us. But we never talk to him. We don't spend time in prayer. Two-way communication. It's very important that we do both. There is nothing, back to the your notes there, there is nothing that will help you more in your Christian faith than these two disciplines. They're very, very important. And as simple as they seem to be, why do we struggle at it? I'm not being condescending or condemning of that, but it's like, it just seems pretty simple, right? Yep. I mean, you know, if something important you wanted to be a part of was at 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning, or you'd be there. Why is it such a struggle? Why is it so hard? I'm going to tell you why. It's a spiritual thing. And our flesh fights spiritual things. Our flesh, mine, yours. Satan fights spiritual things. It's funny when people say, you know, I just don't have time for the Word of God. I don't believe that. How many of you, as busy as you are, you'll find time to eat, right? Find time to do other things you need to do. Take a shower, hopefully. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day you choose. But the Bible is important, and we need to get to the point where we're choosing it, and we're not letting anything, and we fight that battle. It seems like it shouldn't be so hard, but I get it. It is, because it's a spiritual thing, and it's very important. Before we look at some encouragements for spending time in the Bible, let us first understand how wonderful the Bible is. You see, the Word of God that we hold in our hand is more marvelous than we can comprehend. It is. There is a depth to this book that you'll never get to the bottom of. I'm not saying, this isn't braggadocious, because I've been saved and serving the Lord longer than a lot of you, okay? I know I've read my Bible over 100 times, if not portions of it more than that. I try to go through it 2 to 3 times a year. Recently 2 times a year, plus other times you look at it or whatever. And it's amazing. I'll read something, I'm like, I probably shouldn't confess this, but like 6 years ago, I'm like, I really feel embarrassed to it. Like, Moses had 2 wives? I just figured that out. I don't know how I was reading, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. By the way, I've read that scripture probably hundreds of times. I'm like, Ethiopian, wasn't his wife the priest's daughter? And so, you know, I looked online. I'm like, I think it's true. And that night we had an activity at our house. Remember the missionary, Brother Hawking? 50, so we had an activity. I said, Brother Hawking. I thought, man, if I'm that stupid, maybe somebody else is. So, Brother Hawking, how many wives did Moses have? He didn't even blink. 2? Like, okay. I've never heard anybody mention it. But now that's a dumb thing, okay? That's a Steve Myers idiocy. But you'll read something in the scripture that you've read, and it's like, I never saw that before. Because that's when you needed it. And God kind of pulled that out for you, didn't he? God said, hey, look, I want you to have this today. So you'll never get to the bottom of it. It's just that good. Now let's look at the wondrous Bible. Now before we get that, we understand that most religions have some type of religious text. And by the way, none of them compare to the Bible. None. What do the Mormons have? The Mormons have the Book of Mormon. They have another secondary one, the Pearl of Great Price. And they also are into their Doctrines and Covenant book that they have. But that was written by God. That was written by Joseph Smith. You know how he got it? He said that in the 1800s, Jesus Christ and an angel named Moroni, who I believe is mentioned in the Satanic Bible, came to him and basically gave him some gold plates that had this, and he had to translate them. Now, by the way, the gold plates have seemed to disappear. And by the way, you could just look at that and prove it's not true. It mentions ancient civilizations with millions of people, multitude of millions of people, huge cities that were in the Americas that were wiped out, and yet there's not one bit of archaeological evidence that's ever been found. If that many people lived in America with all the digging and the building we do, it'd be there. You don't have to go very far in Israel and to dig up something that proves the Bible. And by the way, just on a side note, they tell you that they believe the Bible, but they don't. Yeah. They go by the Book of Mormon, which is completely different. The Jehovah's Witnesses have theirs. It's the New World Translations. It's published by the Watchtower Society. Yeah. Now, Charles Taze Russell, the founder of their religion, same thing. You know, they always come in and say Christianity was in darkness, and this is a new revelation. He translated the Bible, and he didn't even know what he was doing. They changed it to fit the beliefs that he brought in. Yeah. And by the way, they believe, and they state it themselves, that the only way that someone can understand the Bible is through their watchtower organization. They believe if you were to study the Bible on your own, it would lead you into darkness. You need someone to tell you what it's all about. Well, we believe in a relationship with God. Yeah. And we believe if the Spirit of God indwells inside of you, you can read the Bible and God will show you some things.
Yes, sir.
You don't need someone sitting there telling you all about it. Do you know the Satanists even have their own Bible? And the Islam, we know they have the Quran. But none of these, all of these pale in comparison with the Word of God, the Bible. It's very precise. You look at its prophecy. You look at its power to change lives. By the way, you can't argue with that right there. Now, what makes the Bible so wondrous? I have some things in the book there. We won't spend a lot of time on these. First of all, his word has always been settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's not some new thing that just showed up. God's word is eternal because God is eternal. Like I mentioned earlier, we don't believe in progressive revelation. In other words, we don't believe that God is still revealing his word to this world today. We believe the word of God, everything wants us to know, is complete in the scripture. By the way, if you don't believe that, you're going to have some troubles. Because then every person that gets up and said, God told me this, what are you going to do? You know, the charismatics, they get into some crazy stuff. God's speaking to me. Well, tell me a verse. Yeah, I always say jokingly, you know, I want God to speak to me. Read the Bible. I want to hear God's voice. Then read it out loud. That's the only way you're going to get that. Okay, God, his word, his canon of scripture is done. We have everything we need. By the way, it's kind of funny. We don't need new scripture. We just need to get back to the scripture we already have, right? That's taken enough time to get. I don't need anything new. I got everything I need. Peter tells us that. It's a completed book. It's fixed. It's established forever. As we mentioned, this goes with it. The word of God, the next one is eternal. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth one day. But my words shall not pass away. By the way, isn't it crazy? We're so caught up in saving this world. I don't even like bumper stickers. If I get one, it's like, save the humans. Okay? We're getting a new world. So I'm not saying throw trash outside and, you know, get an aerosol can and donk. I'm not saying that. But come on. We're more interested in nonsense than we are individuals. And this whole world, it's going to be renewed. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But the Bible, it's never passing away. The Bible is eternal. These other religious texts, whatever they are, God's word will never fade away. Theirs will. Next, the Bible is God's word, not man's. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It was inspired by a holy God. Men didn't just get up there and write what they felt like writing. And I've given it statistics before, and I won't give it. In our second discipleship book, we have a little thing about the Bible, and we have that in there. But you know the story. Written over 1,500 years by I think it's over 40, I'm just off the top of my head, 40 different authors over 1,500 years, different subjects, different types of writing, history, poetry, prophecy, all these different things, and there's no conflict. Listen, you can't even go on the internet and read a subject for 5 minutes without finding conflict.
Yes, sir.
Okay? It's a miraculous book because it's God's word, not man's. Second Peter 1:22, for prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. In other words, they didn't just spit out there what they wanted, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we're going to tackle that subject in our second book later on. Next, God's word is pure, so you can trust it. Thy word is very pure, not just pure, very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. When something is pure, it's not corrupted. Something is pure, it's absolutely right. It's not tainted with any trace of that which is wrong. Many, many, many years ago, someone gave me a message to listen to about the Bible. And so I was at work, back when I worked in the warehouse. I popped it in while I was working. I was listening to it. And then this guy made the statement, you know, the Bible is mostly true. Because of all the old man, it's 94% true. And I hit the off button. I'm like, that's garbage. By the way, how many of you would like something that's not... That means it's 6% wrong. What 6%? The 6% about Jesus? The 6% about eternity? No. If I came and I said, listen, I got a water bottle for you. I filled this up myself. And would you be okay with drinking it? It's 94% pure. Now, the other 6% contains some, poison or whatever. How many of you would drink that? No, you want pure water. I want a pure word. If I can't trust every word of God, then what can you trust? We're out there flapping in the wind. And by the way, we'll go to the next one. God preserved his word for us. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. What does that mean? What it doesn't mean, some believe that the Bible is only the word of God in the originals. Now that sounds cute, but there are no originals. There aren't. So how do I know what I have? No, God not only gave us his words, God preserved them so that they would get to us. Right. And we believe, and this is not the subject for now, but that in the King James Bible, we believe that we inspired, preserved words of God. John Burgeon said this, if you and I believe that the original writings of the scriptures were verbally inspired by God, as God says they are, then of necessity they must have been providentially preserved through the ages. Why would God give us his pure words and then not make sure we have them? Yeah. We have to kind of like, is this the truth or not the truth? Our eternity hinges on this. So it's very important. I believe that God has preserved his word for us. In other words, look, it's just a trust thing. I can trust this word. Right. I can trust it. And I can trust it with my life. Now, let's move on to the next thing, spending daily time in the Bible. Why should we do that? Well, the Bible is the only book that can answer the key questions of life. By the way, we all have questions. If we don't have answers to what's going on in this life, man, we're going to be confused. We're going to be bumping around like, what? I'm glad I'm saved because I wouldn't want to have to live my life with what is the meaning of life? Is there anything afterlife? All these important questions. The Bible has the answer. I'm glad it does. Let us notice some key ways the Word of God helps us as we spend time in it each and every day. Let me give you a couple. We'll be done in a few minutes. First of all, this whole section here about spiritual growth, our spiritual growth depends on our time in the Bible. It's just foundational. Foundational. You're never going to grow if you're not in the Word of God. We will never have a strong relationship with God if we do not have a strong commitment to the Bible. What kind of relationship would my wife and I have if I never let her talk to me? The word better comes to mind, but anyhow. What if she never let me talk to her? That would definitely be better for her. We wouldn't, you know, we just go home and look at each other. Like, all right, I'm moving on. Our relationship would be done. We got to be communication. How are we going to have communication in a relationship with God if we won't even hear what he has to say to us? We shut him out. And make no mistake, as I mentioned earlier, time in the Word of God only comes by making a commitment to it. A commitment to it. The things that you are faithful to in your life are the things that you have made a commitment to, and you're following through on it. See, we're so haphazard in everything we do, right? Well, you know, if I have time, you know, you ever invite someone to church, like, I'll see if I can make it, just chalk that up. That's a no, right? Hey, Easter Sunday, we'd like to have you come. Maybe. Like, chalk that up. No. Now, sometimes they do show up. Because if someone's going to come, I'll be there. They're going to make that commitment. We're going to make a commitment to be the Word of God, in the being the Word of God. If we are going to grow in our relationship with God, we do it by daily time in God's Word. Look at 1 Peter 2:2. So simplistic and so easy to understand and so helpful. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Babies, you feed them milk, either bottle or natural, okay? By the way, they have no problem letting you know when they need it. Yep. Everybody, you get that first baby, you know, and you're all excited, and you get them home, and 2 a.m, you realize what's going on. Yeah! What's that mean? Feed me, okay? They want to eat. And he says, the same way they desire that milk, because if they don't have that milk, they're not going to grow. The same way to desire that, you should desire the sincere milk of the Word so you'll grow thereby. So what we're doing is, if we're not in the Word of God, we're cutting that off, and the thing that's going to be used by God to help us grow, it's not going to help us because we won't get into it. You know, a lot of people say, well, we live in a time when people don't want to make commitments. And to a certain extent, that's true. But a more accurate statement would be that people are not willing to make commitments in the area that they should. You look at someone that won't make a commitment, you say, that person has a, you know, commitment phobe. No, you look at their life, and you'll see there's something they're committed to. There's something they'll give their time to. There's something they'll be faithful to, because that's what's important to them. It's not that we're not committed, it's just that we won't commit to the things that we should commit to. It's so easy for us to commit to things we really should not be committed to. It's a weakness we have. We get so caught up in frivolities. We get so caught up in things that just don't matter in the light of eternity. I'm not against you doing certain things, but if you do certain things and you won't do the spiritual things, then there's an issue. Yep. What you ought to do is tell yourself, I'm not going to do my hobby if I'm not in the Word of God. By the way, if you really want to get into the Word of God, I'm not going to eat unless I'm in the Word of God. That might be the best diet ever known to man. Okay? But we have to make a commitment to it. We typically put as much time necessary into something if we're committed to it. You see these people, now they have been doing it because of COVID, but some new phone comes out, and they used to, now everything's online, but they, you know, the first iPhones came out. People were in line for like 2 days. The same people that don't have time for God. We find time for the things that are important to us. We really do. Next, and this will be our last one for tonight. Our relationship with the Bible is the key to success in life. What do we mean like that? I'll be rich? No. But if you are, make sure you tithe. No, that's not what it's talking about. When we think of success, we've kind of stamped a dollar sign on it, right? We spell it with an S with a... I don't know what that is, a line through it, dollar sign. That's not success. Success is like in whatever area, okay? The Bible tackles every area of life. It gives us principles which will allow us to be successful in those areas. See, the Bible is a very practical book. It's not some book written, you know, 2,000 years ago that doesn't speak about anything that has to do with what's going on in my life today. The Bible speaks about everything that's going on in your life today. Everything. A lot of times we don't understand that because we're not getting in it. It talks about marriage. It talks about child rearing. It talks about what kind of worker we ought to be. You name it. The important areas of life, the areas where we need help, the Bible talks about it. And if we get in our Bibles and we're thinking about the Bible, we're letting it permeate our mind, we will have success in those areas. The Word of God shows us how to successfully navigate each and every area of life. Think about your finances. The Bible talks about that. How to handle your money and so forth. The more we allow the Word of God to guide us in our decisions, the more successful we will be in those areas in our life. Here's the verses. We know these well. Psalm 1 and 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He delights in it. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, constantly thinking about what he's learning from the Word of God. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's fruitfulness. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. He'll continue. And then what does it say? And what's that word? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now think about that. What is whatsoever? Whatsoever. Everything. Now, why could God make a promise like that? Because, you know, we're really good at read the fine print. Find a loophole, right? Aha, I got God cornered. He said whatsoever. No, it's tied to the Word of God. Because if we're in the Word of God, you know what we're going to want? We're going to want the things that God wants, and we're going to want God's blessing and work and everything that we're doing, and God's in on that. God's in on that. We won't want the things that are actually harmful to us. We'll want the things that are helpful to us, and the Word of God will help us to be successful in those areas. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written. The more we think about it, and the more it's in our mouth, we're going to obey it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Wow. We can have a prosperous way, but this is not blasphemous, but we make our way prosperous. How? We follow God's word, and God blesses us. We follow God's word. Does that mean we never have problems? No one said that. But we'll have success in the important areas of life. You think of people that they got all the money in the world. They can own the biggest house in the world, but they don't have a home. They'll lose their family. You know, they lose this or they lose that. They lose all of the important things of life. Why? Because they're not following the guidebook. They're not allowing God to lead their way. But when we get in the Word of God, we learn those things. I believe that if you get in the Word of God and learn the Word of God, it'll help you in every area of your life. You know, you don't have to just, and I'm not against, I'm for it. Learn what the Bible says about having a family. Learn what the Bible says about having a marriage and put those things into practice. But let me just say this too. If you do the other things the Bible says, that'll also help your marriage and your family. Because just being a better Christian helps you too. It'll help you be a better employee. But not if we don't get into it. Let's pray tonight. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. And we thank you for all that you do for us. But Lord, we are so grateful for the Word of God. And I pray, Father, that you would help us. I pray that you would help us to take the Word of God very, very seriously. I pray that we would make it a part of our life. And that we would make the effort to fight the flesh and everything else against us that would keep us from being in it each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.